Hey, everybody. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that's freeing America one enslaved mind at a time. And you can see on the screen, we have my friend Guy Gottschalk from My Digital Money on, and he's coming on to talk about crypto. In fact, I'm going to just start off the show with this. Guy and I were just talking about this before we came on air. And Larry Fink, CEO of BlackRock, said, and these are exact words, crypto will transcend national currencies. And BlackRock and JP Morgan and all these other banks, they used to reject crypto. So, Guy, first of all, I want to welcome you to the show, congratulate you on your impending marriage, which is fantastic. And then when you're ready to jump in, I would really like for you to address Larry Fink's comment and how that strikes you.
Yeah, thanks for having me again, and thanks for the congratulations.
Absolutely. I hope you have 30 plus great years like I've had with my wife, and I'm truly blessed. And so it's an exciting time for you.
I hope so as well. Yeah, that's great. 30 years. Wow. Long time.
Yeah, been with the same person for 35 years total. I'll tell you, the longer that you're in a marriage like this, the more secure you feel, the more fun life is. And I'm truly blessed. So I wish all the best for you. Just such a great thing. I'm ha really happy for you.
Thanks
Okay,
a
so
lot.
let's go to Larry Fink's quote. How did that strike you? Since you're in the crypto business, what do you think about what he said?
Well, I agree with him, number one. Number two, I'm like, okay, finally, he was one of the people that were, not really promoting it in the beginning, but now that ETFs, no surprise, that now he has an ETF. Of course, he comes out with what he really thinks, right? I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if that's what he thought all along. But obviously BlackRock and the Biden administration and government, they, not that they're necessarily against crypto and against Bitcoin, but they just want it to be first, right? They want you to buy it from them. So I guess it's not a big surprise given the timing and what's happening now. So yeah, that's kind of what goes through my mind is like, that's what you always thought.
Well, I don't want to buy it from them. I want to buy it from you
Yes.
and reputable dealers, because I don't believe government has the best interest of the people at heart. And when you deal with someone like My Digital Money, your company, you have to treat your customers with respect. You have to want them to do well because they're the lifeblood of your business. So I don't want the Federal Reserve to take this over. That's scary to me.
Absolutely, yeah.
Let me ask you this. Are there any firewalls in place that would protect us from Biden, Janet Yellen, and these people from taking over crypto?
Well, I mean, I think it's just the adoption of just common people buying it, having it either in their own wallet or with platforms like My Digital Money, where you do actually own the crypto. I think we don't want them to own too much of it. But yeah, I mean, it's not that it's you can't really eliminate it completely, the risk of that happening, but it's very, very unlikely, just because the global adoption that you have, and no one can really, really control it. You can influence the price, if you own a lot of it, but them owning more than 50% or more than a certain amount is would be very, very tough. Just because of the sentiment, you look at how many people own cryptocurrency, right? And how many people were there before the government was. So.
Yeah, I think what you're saying is really wise. I want to give you just the way I look at it personally. I never owned my home. Now, my wife and I saved, and we gave up a lot of stuff we could have done and bought to pay off our home in 13 years on a 30-year mortgage. And we're really glad we did it. But we really don't own our home, because if we can't afford to pay our property tax, the government would take over our home. Well, in crypto right now, you own your crypto. It's you. It's not you and the government. But if the Federal Reserve gets involved, then it's you and the government. That's what I'm really opposed to.
Right. Yes, exactly. You actually own your crypto. Unlike when you have dollars in the bank, right? So that's an important
Exactly.
distinction. Yep.
Well, yeah, the whole thing, Bitcoin right now, I do think that quote from Larry Fink is somewhat accurate because I don't see us coming back from this debt. I mean,
Yeah.
do you see us paying off $35 trillion? I don't.
No, I don't. I mean, you just look at the numbers, the inflation, the housing costs, just the trends in general. I mean, having dollars is losing battle. I mean, you're losing a significant amount of your wealth, every day that you have, your money in the bank. So, I completely agree that, you gotta have other assets. I think Bitcoin is a great way to protect yourself. I've always said that on your show. And so obviously, yeah, I agree with Larry Fink there.
Yeah, that may be the only thing I ever agree with, thank God. But I totally agree with this. I listen, I think we have to mention this again. I don't think you can say it too often. The Dodd-Frank Law 2010 allows the banks to take your money because you're now declared to be a secondary investor. You're an unsecured investor is actually what they call it. And that means to shelter themselves from a bank failure. They could do a bail-in. They could just seize your money and you have no recourse. So people are smart if they divest, gold, silver, Bitcoin. That's where most people are going. And it's the only smart thing to do right now. But I do have a question about the market, though. Bitcoin hasn't quite gotten back to the $70,000 ceiling it was at, but people are still optimistic. What's going on in that arena with regard to pricing?
Yeah, I mean, so we're around 62 or 63,000, so we're still pretty good shape, right? The all-time high was, around 73, or 72. I don't remember the exact number, but so we're still, in good shape. It's just that we're a bit in a boring phase, right? I think in a consolidation phase. Bitcoin's been kind of oscillating between a certain range. It's been pretty stable, and I think people are just trying to, they're just kind of relaxing, waiting for things to shake out. There's a number of things that we're waiting for. One is obviously the elections. Another thing is the there's a decision by the SEC that has to be made around the Ethereum ETFs. And the halving just happened. And I think also institutions are kind of regrouping, and they're starting to get more and more into ETFs. I mean, I think the wealth advisors and wealth management firms, will start getting into it and offering it to their clients. So I think people are kind of waiting for more adoption there. Generally after the halving, it takes, about a year for the price to start, shooting up. So I think, maybe people are waiting a little bit here. But and the fourth quarter of the year is usually pretty good for Bitcoin. And so, yeah, I mean, I think that the price is going to kind of be stable until, later in the year. But, there's a lot of bullish indicators. I think that's why people are not selling off, right? The reason why they're not selling off is, you just had, a report come out from the 13F filings, right, that institutions have to make about their investments. And it came out that JP Morgan, Wells Fargo, and a lot of other big banks actually have invested in the Bitcoin ETF, right? And so there's a saying, watch what they do, not what they say,
Yeah,
right?
exactly.
There's a lot of, FUD, fear, uncertainty, and doubt out there that, is injected a lot of times by these big institutions historically, right? Like JP Morgan, but, then look at actually what they're doing, and they're actually buying it, right? And so usually that's an indicator, of trends, right? When they're buying something, they're usually pretty good at, either predicting or setting trends. And so that's really important. A lot of savvy investors, are looking at that, and that's probably one reason they're not selling, is what I think. Also, you have a lot of legislation being worked on. We have Patrick McHenry, that's part of the House Financial Services Committee, is advancing the latest bill through Congress. It actually, for the first time, is set to go through. It probably won't pass the Senate, but nevertheless, it's progress, and I think it'll probably pass the Senate next year. But just given that regulatory clarity means more and more institutions will come into it, right? And so I think a lot of people that are in the industry are seeing this, and it's a sign that adoption will go up, but it's not happening tomorrow, but it's happening in the near future. So that's another reason why people won't necessarily sell off. And of course, Trump just came out in support of crypto as well. There's a lot of bullish indicators here, and the ETFs we've talked about last month on your show really have outperformed any ETF in the history of ETFs. Bitcoin ETF spot ETF reached 10 billion within 2 months, right? A lot of the ETFs did, and historically I think the record was by JEPQ. There's an ETF called JEPQ that reached 10 billion in 647 trading days, which is about 3 years. And so you can, see that Bitcoin way outperformed any other ETF. So, there's a lot of these indicators. So I think that's why we're still in the game, and I think people are just waiting a little bit.
Yeah, I think you're right on the money with that. The other thing too, I think the government's acceptance of this. I mean, you know the history. I'll give you an example. Like when JFK, he brought in the silver certificates and was trying to compete with the Federal Reserve, and it really ticked off the globalists of the day. Bitcoin isn't meeting with that kind of resistance, but I think it's out of necessity. I think the money managers know they've wrecked the Western economies. And they know they're going to have something to jump to. I'm wondering if crypto isn't going to become the primary currency of most like G7, G20 nations. What do you think?
Yeah, I don't know about that for sure. It's a possibility. They can also create their own currency, like maybe some kind of new currency or a stable coin. I think crypto has its place, for sure. I don't know if it's going to be Bitcoin or not, but it's definitely going to be one of the top currencies that people will use as a way to transact and as a way to essentially, hold the value of their wealth.
Is crypto kind of like gold and silver a way to stay one step ahead of the burning bridge of collapsing economies due to debt?
Yeah, I think so. I think gold and silver, for me, it's more of a way to preserve your wealth. But Bitcoin is a way to basically outpace inflation and
Right.
really be able to actually retire or actually buy a home, because it's outperformed any other asset class by far. And so for me, it's I have it in my IRA. That's kind of my only hope to actually be able to retire without being too stressed, so.
I had an economist say this to me, and I'd like to get your reaction to it. He said, kind of what you just indicated, gold and silver is a way to preserve your wealth. It's like an insurance policy against inflation and an economic downturn. He said, crypto is a way to really increase your income.
Exactly.
Do you agree with
Yeah.
that statement? Okay.
Yeah. For me, there's two ways to increase your income. One is through Bitcoin and crypto, and then the other is by starting your own business. And starting your own business is very tough, obviously, and the rate of success is not very high, and especially right now with what's happening in the economy, it's not an easy thing to do, right?
Yeah. Well, I like your comment about JP Morgan and Wells Fargo investing in Bitcoin ETF and watching what they do, not what they say. I remember when JP Morgan came out and told his employees, if any of you buy crypto, I'm going to fire you. Boy, have
Right.
they changed their tune. And does that mean the banks are in trouble, do you think? Is that an indicator now, the shift in there? Is that a necessity?
It's an interesting thought. I think it could be that. But I don't think it's something that's so imminent that's happening tomorrow. But I think it's also just wanting not to miss out, right? It's wanting to capitalize on what's coming, and it's not that, the crypto is going to replace the dollar tomorrow. But yeah, I think it's starting to be more a necessity. We're not quite there, but yeah, you're right about that.
Yeah, I got to be honest. I feel sorry for the people stuck in the old paradigm. Well, money markets and staying with the dollar, and the dollar will be that is such bad thinking. And but yet, if you talk to people, particularly people over 50, 55, 60, they're stuck in that paradigm. And I'm wondering how we reach them and get them to realize the game has changed. And if you're going to protect your retirement, you got to think in different terms.
Yeah, it's a tough one to sell for sure. I just keep showing statistics and, different reports like the job markets report and the inflation reports and, just the average price of a house and, that's all you can do is really by, making it real by showing numbers. And I just see what's happening around me. Like all my friends, basically preferring to pay rent instead of buying homes. No one can buy a home anymore, where it's very difficult to buy a home. I mean, it's hard not to see those things, right?
When Trump was president, $67,000 bought a starter home. Today, the average in America is almost 120,000.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, even McDonald's recently admitted that their usual customer can't afford them anymore. They used to be unhealthy and cheap, and now they're just unhealthy.
Yeah, I love that. I got to remember that guy. I'm going to steal that from you. That's a good line. I just read yesterday that McDonald's is coming out with a $5 meal value just for the reason you said. I'm wondering what you're going to get though. One McNugget, two French fries,
Exactly. You'll get like
$5.
one chicken McNugget.
Oh
That's
my gosh.
crazy.
I'm sorry. I don't mean to make fun of McDonald's, but my wife used to be in charge of the Arizona owned corporate stores, and it was affordable then. It was a great place to work. She is so glad she's retired now. It's an absolute mess. Moving on though to a guy named Patrick McHenry, advances a bill through Congress. It may or may not pass the Senate, but making progress towards regulatory clarity by next year. And it's the bill on the crypto market structure. A lot of people won't have heard of this. This is the first time they've heard this. Can you explain in layman's terms what that means and where you think this is going?
Yeah, the bill is it's known as FIT 21, and it basically gives more clarity on how to govern, the digital asset markets, and who actually has oversight. It outlines, for example, when is a digital asset a commodity, when is it a security, right? So I don't remember the details, but it more says, okay, if a digital asset is decentralized and is not controlled by one entity, or that one entity doesn't control, have more than a certain percentage, it actually, defines with quantifiable terms, what
Wow.
is a commodity versus a security. And so it gives clarity on, also what you have to do as a company, how do you register? And it's supposed to make it also more realistic to register, because there's some things right now that fall under, you might fall under a certain a traditional asset governance and you can't actually comply, right? And so this
Yeah.
gives you more of a path to compliance, and it would bring people back, into the industry, and hopefully not be afraid, that they're just going to be sued, and just not a lot of companies just don't know, if they're in compliance or not in compliance, and so that really makes them hesitate to, to get in the game or to stay in the game, right? And so, yeah, I mean, the bill's constantly developing, and so that's why it's good that it's going to pass, Congress, and then Then the Senate will get involved. It might not pass the Senate, but they're going to help develop the bill, hopefully to a good place, right? Where we can keep innovation here in the U.S. And just motivate entrepreneurs, to stay here.
Well, one of the things that I think I heard you say, I'll let you correct me if I misinterpreted. This is an anti-monopoly bill as well. If they're limiting percentage of ownership, it's an anti-Federal Reserve bill too. It's going to make sure that crypto remains relatively independent because not one entity can control it. Did I hear you correctly?
Yeah, you could look at that way. Yeah, because when crypto is decentralized, then it could fall into the realm of commodities where, it's not a security. It doesn't meet the Howey test. There's no central control, right? And so, there's always been a question of, okay, what is actually decentralization, right? There's varying degrees of decentralization. And so when does something get classified as a security? That's been a big question. So this bill aims to answer that. And it's good that we can define decentralization. And I'm all for cryptocurrencies that are decentralized. There are ones that aren't, and I'm not as big of a fan of those,
No,
at least
you
as the
shouldn't
current.
be. You shouldn't be. Let me break this down for the audience. If you know nothing about finance, and I think Guy made this really simple, what he just said, but just assume you know nothing about finance, or if you're explaining it to your 10-year-old, when you centralize the control of an asset, that's communism. When you decentralize, that's free market and capitalism.
Yes,
And
exactly.
this is why I think crypto has such a great future because people are realizing socialism is equating with bankruptcy. National bankruptcy, personal bankruptcy, and then they have to tax the heck out of you to keep up. We talked about before we went on the air this idea of unrealized income. If your house appreciates, Janet Yellen and now members of Congress want to tax you on your appreciated value of your house. And like you said to me, where are you going to come up with the money? Well, that's centralization. I want decentralizing. I want to be as far away from the government control as possible. I just want the government to punish the cheaters. I don't want them to be involved. So this is what I think the value of crypto. So since crypto is at 62, 63,000, I would assume that your business at My Digital Money is doing pretty well.
Yeah, I mean, the last few months have been great. We've had a lot of new customers come in with IRAs and a lot of existing customers trading, of course, selling, taking profits, and also buying in as well. I mean, it's been a great last few months for sure.
Yeah, this is something that's like music to my ears to hear this because I know a lot of people in crypto. When Sam Bankman-Fried was allowed to break the law and turn $40 million into Democratic Party donations before they busted him, that really put a damper on the entire market, didn't it?
Yeah, it did, and it put a lot of people out of business, and we definitely had some turbulence over here, like every other crypto company. But we stuck it out, and we were able to stick it out because of the practices we've had in place, right? That we, our customers are not unsecured creditors; they actually own their cryptocurrency, right? So, we weren't leveraging anyone's assets for any risky bets or anything like that. So the value crashing, it didn't put us out of business like it did a lot of other companies. But of course, the trading volumes took a hit during that time, and we had to essentially lower our costs to stay in business. But fortunately, even if we did go out of business, our customers are safe because we use our custodian that's been around since 1974, and the assets remain, legally the customer's assets. So it's not like we would have to figure out how to pay the customers back. I mean, we didn't have any of the that, FTX, the issues from FTX in place, right? And Celsius and a lot of other companies that are still trying to pay back customers. So
No, I hear you. You know, Michael Jackson said this when he was 5 years old on a song, "One bad apple doesn't spoil the whole bunch." And that, I think that's really true here with FTX. And you know what's interesting, and this is kind of digressing a little bit, but isn't it interesting that FTX broke all these laws, misused their investors' money, and 40 million went to politicians for campaign, and not one of them is going to return a dime. So they have control over the dollar. I darn sure don't want these same people to have control over gold, silver, and crypto. I think that's,
Absolutely, yeah.
yeah, that's just crazy. Well, what do you see going further here with regard to crypto? What do you think is coming next?
Yeah, I mean, I think there's going to be a lot of innovation this year with various blockchain applications. You have a lot of new decentralized finance applications being built on Ethereum, on Solana, a lot of different examples that can't go into on this show now, but there's a lot of applications being built. People are bullish, so they're investing, and I think the price definitely by the end of the year will shoot up because of continuous institutional adoption. I think the wealth managers will start offering, will start offering the ETFs, and yeah, the price will definitely shoot up with Bitcoin, and the election. I don't know. I can't predict what will happen in the election, but if we end up not having Biden, then I mean, it will be very, very good for crypto. That is a big question mark, but I think that could have a really good effect on the industry and on prices, and more investments will come in at that point. More VC funds and private investor funds would funnel in at that point. So.
But the thing is I think a lot of the things we worry about with total government centralization and taking over of everything, there's going to come a point where the people are collectively going to say no. And I think that's what's going to keep crypto in business. People are just going to say no. And if we are, as some people say, in a communist takeover, it's early enough now they need people's compliance to make it work. And if the public just says, no, we're doing crypto. We're not paying unrealized income taxes on our houses. We're not going to send our kids to fight and die in Ukraine. I think there's a collective message there the government's going to soon get. And I think the polls already show it.
Yeah, and don't get me wrong. I mean, crypto is here to stay, right? It's more about just in the short term the acceleration, right? The government can only ever slow it down a little bit, but not stop it. So, yeah, I agree with you. I mean, the people obviously will prevail. I think generally our society is for ownership and kind of having rights over your currency and I think crypto is probably more people than not understand that that's a good thing.
Well, they're getting there. I think the public attitude shift has been dramatic. And then the business sector is being forced to follow along because this is what the public wants. I think the people are setting the trend, not business. I think the people's desire means that's what I see.
Yeah.
So, okay, so we've kind of set the tone here. This is where we're at with the economy and crypto and kind of on the periphery of that we mentioned gold and silver. But let's go forward. Let's say people say, I want to get involved in this now. I've been watching on the sidelines. It's now my turn to step in, and I want to try to take advantage of this. So we say, okay, let's call my digital money. So tell me the process. Walk us through a little bit about what happens then.
Yeah, you just go to mydigitalmoney.com, you click on Get Started, you fill out an application, takes about 5 minutes. We have a US-based staff that is there also. If you have questions or you need someone to walk you through the process, you just give us a call. You get approved usually same day, and you fund your account and you start buying. You can buy fractional gold and silver and platinum as well. So in one place, you can do metals and you can do crypto. And we have a play money account, so you can always put some money, fake money in just to kind of get a feel for it. And again, I mean, I can't stress enough, you can call us and we can talk to you about not just the platform, but about cryptocurrency in general. We won't give you advice, but we'll tell you about the different cryptocurrencies and the pros and cons of buying those. And, we'll give you our opinions and, point you to the right information.
See, what I like that I just heard, I really like this. In the stock market, if you're over a certain age, the brokers, because they don't want to get sued or have the SEC come after them, they're going to put people in ultra conservative funds, which may not be the right idea. And what you just said is we're going to tell you the options and you get to decide where you go. You're not going to be directed by an agent. I really like that a lot.
Yeah, because our, part of our business is the self-directed IRA, where you can open a self-directed IRA, and there's emphasis on that word self-directed. You make your own decisions. I mean, everyone has their own appetite for risk, their own situation and goals. So there's not a one size fits all, right? Some people, it's right for them to invest in more risky cryptocurrencies. We don't have ultra risky cryptos on our platform. I mean, we really vet them out. So, we do that to protect your retirement. But of course, it's all relative. We have other cryptocurrencies that are, going to be a little more risky than Bitcoin, but they're going to have higher returns, right? And it's not going to be a fit for everybody, but it will be a fit for some.
Well, you just said something that caught my attention again. I've been reading with increasing regularity certain government officials from different agencies like the SEC, the Treasury Department, saying retirements are in some trouble. Now they're kind of soft pedaling the language, but the message is, hey, I don't know if you can count on your retirement a whole lot longer. That's how I'm taking it when I hear this. Well, if you eliminate that part of it, okay, and you go to, let's say, a crypto-based IRA, you've basically taken control of your retirement away from some agency or government and put it under your control, haven't you?
Yeah, I mean, you're not relying on anyone to manage your fund. You're basically your retirement. You're taking control of it for yourself. So, yeah, in my opinion, that's a better way to have a retirement account than your typical 401k. That's in mutual funds.
Yeah, I hear exactly what you're saying. I see there's so much people listen to me. You know where I stand on the economy if you follow me any time. There's so much good, Guy, that you have said today that resonates with me, but it falls under decentralization and giving people control of their wealth. That's basically what you're doing. If I were to put a banner
Exactly.
over what
Yes.
you're doing and the fact that crypto, listen, I love gold and silver. I've got a lot of it, but what I like about crypto is you can increase your wealth with it. You're not just protecting, okay, which is important, but you're increasing your wealth. You gave the website, mydigitalmoney.com. If people just want to call directly and just ask questions, where can they call?
Yeah, they could call 833-636-2008.
833.
636, which spells out MDM, and then 2008. And we
Okay.
talked about why we picked that before.
It's funny. Yeah, it was the Obama economic collapse of 2008. Yeah, exactly. Okay. Well, Guy, it's really been a pleasure having you on. And I know you're probably busier and I'll get out, so we won't keep you any longer because getting married, I know you got a lot to plan for. And I know it's a very nervous time, but enjoy the moment. Okay. Mine was very special. I know yours will be too. Congratulations and thanks
Thank
for
you so
coming on.
much.
Thanks for
Thanks.
coming on. This is very, very insightful. So we appreciate you. I look forward to talking to you soon.
Same here. Bye.
Take care. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show freeing America, one enslaved mind at a time. Thank you so much for joining us. But we need to make up 1 million minds at a time that we're freeing. So please share far and wide. We have largely still an ignorant country that isn't acting in their own self-defense because they don't know what's going on. So let's please share far and wide as much as we can. Thank you very much. Now, let's talk about who's sponsoring today's show. In the aftermath of the Canadian bank saying they're in trouble, And 6 weeks after Jerome Powell said, "Hey, banks are going to fail in this country, I don't want you to have a 1929 moment. Noble Gold can protect you. They can teach you how to diversify. They can protect your retirement. They can back it with gold. You control it. The government can't steal it from you, because under Dodd-Frank, that's exactly what's going to happen, because the banks own your money when you put it in. So keep operating capital and move it out." Now, the federal government, the FABTC, wants me to tell you there's no guarantees when you do anything. We understand that. And also, too, past performance can't be indicative of future expectations. Too bad they didn't do that with Sam Bankman-Fried. But nonetheless, we're happy to comply with that regulation. Now, here's something that you really need to know. I've been a customer of Noble Gold for about a year less than I've advertised. Advertised for over seven, been a customer for six, and I keep going back to get what I need, a proportionate distribution of my assets. They're the best there is. They will not pressure you. So here's what you do. You call them, 877-646-5347, 877-646-5347, or you can find them at DaveHodgesGold.com. That's DaveHodgesGold.com. Well, the statistics are out on church attendance, and it's not good. And people seem to be, I can't say that they're losing the faith in big numbers, but they're not practicing the faith in mass. And there's a lot of power in collective prayer. And I'm looking at, why is this true? Why is this true? Well, one of the reasons it's true is 501c3. I belong to a church that does that, but I don't see them getting in the way. They have big donors behind them, and I don't see them bending the knee to the government. And now they're careful. They walk up to the point where they can't be political, but you know where they stand. I think that churches have to go forward boldly, proclaim the truth. 501c3 is unconstitutional. Either you have a tax deferment or you don't. It shouldn't limit what you say. It's a First Amendment free speech violation. But it's keeping a lot of churches from talking about baby killing. It's keeping churches from talking about the inhumanity of illegal immigration, and not just for Americans, but for the migrants themselves. I mean, what, the majority of women are raped by the cartel as they cross the border. They're put into bondage. They put kids into bondage. And churches, if they talk about it, they'll pull their tax exemption. I would say this. If I were a pastor today, before my congregation, I would say, "You need me to tell you the truth, right? Okay. We have operating expenses here. If I do that now, we'll lose tax deductions. We'll have to cut programs. Or you can reach down inside, and if you're able to give more, we can forsake our 501c3 and tell the government we will not be silent and begin to proclaim God's truth in its full entirety." That's what should happen. Unfortunately, it's not. Now, we have many churches, Catholic charities, some organized religion, that support illegal immigration. Now, here's what I'm telling you. An illegal migrant walks up to a pastor and says, "I want to know Christ." You let him know Christ. That's not a national boundary issue. I need to be fed. You help them. They're a human being. I want you to facilitate my entry into the country. I want you to hide me from ICE officials, and I want you to help me deceive people so I can get into the country. That's wrong. And we have groups, religious groups doing this, and it's turning the people off. Just like the 501c3 keeps churches many times from dealing with the critical issues of the day, the same thing is true here. People want to know God, but they want to know God and their world and how it all works together under the umbrella of full disclosure. And if you only have partial disclosure because of government regulation, then the church is not serving the full needs of the people. And then there's the clergy response team. Should I say the clergy traitor team? If you're a clergyman and you're in the clergy response team, You have betrayed the Lord, in my humble opinion. You're also betraying your country because they're about abrogating the First Amendment, freedom of religion. They're about making you a partner in the incarceration of future Americans. They've done the training. I've had Walter Mansfield on my show. He was one of the first guys recruited to the clergy response team. You know what they teach these pastors? If they're in the camps, people are in the camps, and you go to minister to them, you can't talk about God and you can't quote the Bible because it's been used as an instrument of oppression. Then why are they there? Because people listen to pastors. They use them to talk them down in hostage situations. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with taking Jesus out of the pastor's repertoire, but they do. The clergy response team, it is totally anti-American. And any of you pastors who are in it, you are anti-American, and you're doing your congregation a disservice. And I'm sure that the Lord looks at this with displeasure. And then finally, there are some people that practice surveillance in their churches. They've allowed the government to install surveillance camera with facial recognition. I've covered that with stories. Shouldn't people, you think about the Catholic Church for a second, the confessional, it's supposed to be totally private. And pastors have privilege. They don't have to disclose things that they learn from their church members. And why would they let the government surveil? Well, let's go back to 2008, the MEAC report. We are moving away from 9/11 foreign Middle Eastern terrorists, and we're going to define terrorism differently now. And we, the government, say that if you're a Ron Paul supporter, a Second Amendment supporter, a constitutional advocate, or you're a Christian, you're probably a domestic terrorist. You remember that? The act of being a Christian makes you, in the eyes of the Department of Homeland Security, created by Marcus Wolf for $5 million, who founded the East German Stasi. Enough said there, right? But that actually puts you in the category of being a domestic terrorist. And then, of course, we have organizations that try to impose their woke agenda on the church, and the church compromises what's in the Bible. It goes against the word of God over and over and over again. And people look at this and say, "You're a bunch of hypocrites, churches. I'm out of here." Now, it doesn't mean they don't love Jesus, doesn't mean they're not religious, but what it does mean is this, is that spiritual growth and educating the church on the ways of the Lord of the world and applying it to real life lessons, it's missing the mark. And people don't see churches answering the problems because it's not made apparent to them, because too many church pastors play politics more than they worry about meeting the needs of their parishioners. This is why the church is failing. Now, what I recommend to people, if you're in that situation, do home Bible studies. Start with your family. Invite a neighbor, invite a friend, invite other relatives. Wherever two or more are gathered in his name. Exactly. This is what they had to do in the old Soviet Union when Christians were persecuted. They had to meet in secret. By the way, I believe we're moving in that direction as well. Lot to consider. Your faith is number one. The Ten Commandments are the supreme law of the universe. The Constitution is the supreme law of the land, and they don't contradict each other. That's why pastors need to step up. Choose your church wisely, America. That's it for the Common Sense Show. Don't forget to check us out at thecommonsenseshow.tv. We bring in a panel of experts. We have them analyze a contemporary problem of the day that people don't know a lot about. And then they suggest solutions. There's no show like it. It's popular. We're getting 5-star ratings on the world's major platforms. Sign up today. Thecommonsenseshow.tv. Hello, America. Dave Hodges here, host of The Common Sense Show. We are the show that is bringing America one enslaved mind at a time. And we're going to talk to you about common sense elections and perceiving the public mood, public support for candidates. And this isn't going to take long to make the point, prima facie evidence coming up. But I want to tell you a really, really quick story. Before the election of 2020, Trump would come to Arizona and he'd have crowds of 15, 20, 25,000. He had a caravan of cars in his honor that stretched on for 100 miles. Conversely, during the same time frame, Kamala Harris and Joe Biden were supposed to appear in downtown Phoenix. Fox 10 News was covering that locally in Phoenix, and I saw this live. They were saying, well, they're supposed to have a rally here today, but the only people here are the Democratic workers. We can't find any but any crowd. The event was scheduled to start at 9. The report came right at 9 o'clock. There was no one there. That same day in Prescott County, Yavapai County in Prescott, Arizona, Trump spoke to 25,000 people. And we're supposed to believe that Joe Biden won that election in 2020. And it was a uniparty theft. In 2020, it was mostly Democrats. In 2022, in the midterm, it was mostly Republicans. We're going to show you more evidence here in a minute of what we're talking about that's coming up in 2024. And in 2020, and to some degree in 2022, the public was caught off guard. You need to share this far and wide, even if you only share the 15 seconds of proof I'm going to show you. But you need to share this far and wide because we need an indignant population that says, we don't believe your results. Because they're going to cheat again. They're going to count the votes offshore. They're going to use the machines. We know the story. They don't clean the voter rolls. There's no ID and they're letting illegals vote. And that's just for starters. So, quick story, real quick story. Liz Harris kicked out of the Arizona House of Representatives for daring to bring in a guest who had 20,000 affidavits, 150,000 pages of evidence of criminal activity involving politicians, including voter fraud. It was a House-Senate Joint Committee on Election Integrity. In Arizona, they shouldn't be allowed to put those two words in the same sentence. We lead the country in election fraud. Nonetheless, they kicked her out for telling the truth. The lady who testified, Jackie Brager, her boss, John Thaler, I've had him on my show 4 times. He's written a book called Report to the Governor. It lays it all out in writing. All the evidence is there. This is what Liz Harris did. She canvassed on a statistical random sampling basis, Maricopa County, for the 2020 election. And the strong estimate based on scientific polling data showed about 195,000 people in Maricopa cast false ballots, or false ballots were cast, not people. She'd go to residents, for example, with her workers, and they'd say things like, wait, is John Doe here? Well, we just want to know if he lives at this address because he voted and this is the address on record. Oh, no, we bought the house from John Doe 20 years ago and he moved to Ohio. That's typical of what they found. It's typical of what's going on now across the country. Arizona is the trendsetter, but the rest of the country is following suit. Now, very quickly, before I show you what's going on in New Jersey, let me tell you about my journey. Strip lung linings. Possible you're going to decline until you go on oxygen in June. And I'm in better shape now than I was before I got sick. And I was in the best shape then that I'd been in 20 years. Why? I quit all the medications, the NanoSoma spray for Magic Dicol. I told you about my knee. I can work out till I can't walk. Can't work out again for a couple of days. But my knee, bone on bone, used to do this with the slightest provocation. Not any longer. The muscles can be stressed to the max, but the knee is just fine. Metasomer gel that I rubbed on. I need to have you look at this. If you've got issues, this works by making your body produce high levels of vitamin C, completely natural, leaves the vitamin D receptors open, and a whole host of other things that it does. And what it does, it's going to help you get back to where you want to be. Go to iwantmyhealthback.com forward slash Dave Hodges. iwantmyhealthback.com forward slash Dave Hodges. So we're going to take a look here. Now, are these people standing in line for the next ride at an amusement park? It's what it looks like. But I want you to know something. What is the predominant color? Oh, I'm not talking race. I'm talking clothing. It's okay if we talk about color and things like that. It's okay if we talk about racism too, because it does exist. Okay, look at this. Red, 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 red. This is New Jersey. How does New Jersey vote? Oh, they vote decisively Democratic. Although, in the 2022 election in some of these major offices, the Republicans led right up until Election Day in the polling. Wonder how that happened. So look at this. 100,000 people in New Jersey showed up to hear Donald Trump speak in what's a hardcore Democratic state. 100,000 people. Joe Biden can't get a dozen to show up. And yet, in November, if Joe Biden's on the ballot and they have an election, and those are two big ifs, that happens, they're going to say, oh, this was the most free and fair election ever, that a man that can't even stand on his own, can't walk down a flight of stairs, is deemed to be incompetent by the Department of Justice to stand trial for the illegal possession of documents that he, as a senator or vice president, had no legal right to have. Too decrepit to stand trial. But the 25th Amendment no longer exists. Can't take him out on disability. And they're going to want you to believe this was a mirage. This never happened. It reminds me of a scene in the movie The Honeymooners from the 60s. I saw it older in reruns on TV. Walter Matthau, A Guide for the Married Man. That's what it was called. And in the movie, the wife shows up, people taking pictures. Yeah. And the mistress is there in the hotel room. The cleanup crew comes in and just fixes everything. And he says, what woman? There's no woman here. And then he saw the surprised, baffled look on the wife's face. That's what this is right here. This never happened. This is a mirage. This is AI. It's a computerized image. There's not 100,000 people in New Jersey that showed up for Trump. The louder we scream now, the more we drive the cheaters underground. That's a fact. And that's it for the Common Sense Show in this segment. We'll be back with more. And thank you for joining us. Make sure you check us out at thecommonsenseshow.tv for the very best in investigative reporting, where you have an expert guest decipher an issue of the day in only a way that they can in their expertise. And then they also propose solutions. And that's what makes our show unique. There's nothing like it. We're getting 5-star ratings on the world's major platforms. Did you know our podcast, for example, is ranked in the top 0.5%, 0.5% of 3 million podcasts rated in the world by Listen Notes? Yeah, check us out. TheCommonSenseShow.tv. We'll see you over there.